As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Draft day, and we're checking in with Sal Capaccio, posting at our website, WGR550.com. You've got Sal's final mock. Sorry, first mock or final mock, or both, for that matter.
Kind of both.
Yeah. First and final?
I kind of do one every year. I usually, a few times, maybe a couple of times over the years I've done more than one, but generally I do one mock draft, one and only. So here it is. It's out now. I just dropped it literally 5 minutes ago for everybody, so we can talk about it as we go. I wanted you to kind of have the big reveal, I guess, Jeremy, here as we talk on the morning. And I'll tell you, it is a unique draft because every team has their own original first round selection, and there are 32 teams picking in the first round. I don't remember this ever happening. I don't know if it's ever happened. I know we've never had. I guess it hasn't never happened because I don't think, from what I read before, I think this is the latest we've ever gone without having a trade in the first round. We still didn't have one. Now, that being said, the Bills are scheduled to select 30th. They could move up. They could move down. You know, you try to do these exercises. I've done several of them, gone through the exercises. I have different players available each time. But when I settled on how I think the board could possibly fall for the first 29, the pick that I have for the Buffalo Bills at number 30 is a defensive tackle, Tyleek Williams of Ohio State. I think there are several guys they could select there. I think there are a couple positions they could select there. But that's how the board fell for this mock. So I have Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle, Ohio State at 30 for the Bills.
He is a big defensive tackle. I mean, there's lots of different options, flavors at the position, Sal. And you went with a guy that is 335 pounds.
Yeah, and that's kind of intentional. I just think that if the Bills get to this spot, I think one thing they need and want in this draft, probably early, is a big body defensive tackle. I've maintained that for a while. I don't think it has to be the first pick, but I do think that the circumstances of them signing Dane Jackson and most recently Tre'Davious White allow for them to not have to maybe reach at corner, and I do think there are some corners who will be available in the second round. Now, look, there's going to be defensive tackles available in the second round. I don't know if you're going to have defensive tackles who have this particular type of body and trait that they'll be looking for to add to the team. Right now, guys, the Bills have a massive void on the interior of the defensive line. They need a bigger body to go along with Ed Oliver and to, I guess, upgrade from Daquan Jones. Larry Ogunjobi is suspended for 6 games. He's only on a 1-year deal. Daquan Jones is only on a 1-year deal. They have to add a player here, and I don't think that that particular player is going to be as available to them in the second round on day number 2 as maybe a corner who could come in and still play early.
Tyleek Williams, the player you've chosen here, and he did come in for a top 30 visit. The Bills had five defensive tackles that came in for visits. They had four defensive ends. They had seven corners, one safety, seven receivers. Of course, you know, it's not just about the top 30 visits, Sal. There's the combine. There's private workouts and private meetings and all that. So, you know, defensive tackle, the thing about that is, You wonder how quickly it is about how the board falls. That's what you kind of said. Like the way that it fell, you went defensive tackle here. The fact that they have three picks in the top 62 is a nice little bonus here, right? That extra pick acquired in the Diggs trade. Brandon Bean earlier this week kind of talked about having the extra second and what it could do for them. Once they make this pick of Williams, if they do, what's next up on the board? Is it another defensive tackle, or do you start to move into corner, safety, something like that?
So if you gave me like odds to set on what positions the Bills would walk out of the first two nights with, if they stay where they are or relatively same where they are, right, Jeremy? Like, let's obviously, if they stay at 30, 56, and 60 in there, I think I would put my money on two defensive linemen and a cornerback. That's what I would say, two defensive linemen and a cornerback. The question for me has always been, what order do those go in? Again, I'll go back to, look what they've done here recently at corner. It doesn't preclude them from drafting one. I want to say that clearly. Like, I don't think that signing Tre'Davious White or Dane Jackson, I'm not here to tell you those guys are the answers and they're going to roll with them. They're going to draft a young guy who needs to play. I don't think it's as urgent, and I think there are a few other guys who could still slide in on day number two. I think it's a little more urgent to have to get some defensive linemen here. You have two guys who signed, who've been suspended for six games. Now, granted, I understand that Brandon Bean said we're going to treat those like six-week injuries. And that's right. I mean, it's not forever, right? They're suspended for six games. They're coming back. But they have holes there they need to fill. And on top of that, it's just a need on the team. They have to add to their defensive line, A, because they weren't good enough at stopping the run at times last year. At times they were. They were very inconsistent. And B, we know they still have to get to the passer. So when you ask me, like, what's more likely or what's most likely, I would say another defensive lineman, could be an edge, and a corner. I just don't know which order that would go in. But I do think that those are the three picks. Two defensive linemen and a corner, to me, are your top three picks.
Quick on corner. We learned the numbers on Tre'Davious White and his contract. So did that come in a little high than you thought, a little low? What does that really mean for this position? You say there's no doubt they're going to draft a young guy. The way that Brandon Bean talked about Tre'Davious White and the number they gave him, do you feel like there's an expectation he's going to be a contributor this year?
100%. I anticipate Tre'Davious White, A, making the team. I mean, I don't think you go out and sign that guy to a close to $3 million contract. I think the name matters here and who he is. Are you going to bring Tre'Davious White back in just to maybe cut him a few months later? I don't think that happens in this scenario, right? It would have to really take them thinking he just can't play anymore. And I don't think that's the case. They've done their work on him. They believe he can play. Absolutely, I think he contributes. I think the question is, does he actually start week one? And I know Bills fans don't want to hear that because they've seen that Tre'Davious White's had these injuries. He went to L.A., he was a healthy scratch, went to Baltimore, and he did contribute in Baltimore. And he did play. He was okay. He wasn't great. He wasn't terrible, anything like that. I think he's in the mix to compete for the starting job. That said, he'll be in the mix with a young guy, and he'll be in the mix with Dane Jackson. He'll be in the mix with Jamarcus Ingram. That's still an open competition. Given the money they gave him, absolutely, I think that still tells you a story that, you know, they're not sitting here and bailing on him right away. Now, it's not astronomical. In fact, I mean, you know, $2.88 million at this point, you know, you could live with if you had to move on from him. That's the guarantee, $2.88. Let's remember, they did cut him last year, and you're still carrying $4 million plus in dead cap for Tre'Davious White. So overall, if you just look at the name, he's counting $7 million, $4 million dead, $2.8 million live. I would caution people not to look at it. I don't think the Bills are doing that. The Bills aren't looking at it as that being Tre'Davious White's cap hit. You might as well call the guy that they cut last year Joe Smith. It doesn't matter. Just count him as two separate players. But it is two cap hits. One is live for $2.88. One is dead for over $4 million. Maybe a little higher than I thought, but probably about the range that I figured it would come in, given that it was reported at over $6 million, but we all knew he wasn't getting that right away.
Right. Jackson might be the one to think about his expendability more, because his guaranteed is $500,000 for this year.
Exactly, Joe. I think that's exactly right. I think when you talk about a guarantee of close to $3 million, I mean, you're talking about a guy playing for you. I mean, that's what it's going to be. Would it stun me if Tre'Davious White just becomes more of a depth, inactive guy on game day once in a while? It wouldn't stun me, but I don't think the Bills are planning for that. I think the Bills are planning on Tre'Davious White being a contributor. We talked to him the other day, and I was kind of looking through again, and it's dawned on me, looking at his bio, and guys, he just turned 30. He's not super old, right? I mean, we've talked about guys like Stephon Gilmore, who was drafted 5 years before Tre'Davious White, right? I mean, Tre'Davious White had a couple injuries, and we know that he's not quite the same player. I get that. He's only 30 years old. He just turned 30. I still think he has some left, and I think the Bills feel that.
He definitely showed a little of that last year at the end with Baltimore. Yeah. Like, it looked better than with the Rams. So, Sal, on Tyreek Williams, drafting him at 30 in your mock draft, you said you got into this a little bit. Like, what that would mean to the Bills' defense and what that could do for them if they really hit on the pick. Like, if he came in and was everything that they were hoping for. I had asked you last week or earlier in the week about how the Bills have never really invested a draft pick in a guy like this. So if they were to do that now and he comes in and can produce right away, like, how do you think it would help their defense? Not just the role, but, I mean, we've talked about this with corner and with safety. Like, also how a guy like that maybe could, you know, impact the rest of the defense, not just the defensive line.
Yeah, Joe, I think it's twofold. Number one, it's a player they need. As I said, they don't have the bigger-bodied guy, the anchor, the guy who can play one technique. Let me say this about Tyreek Williams. He did play a lot of three technique at Ohio State, so that's kind of at Oliver's spot. But he's flexible enough, versatile enough, and big enough to play one technique. He's also still young. He could gain mass. He can gain girth or whatever you want to say. And I think he can be a true one technique at the NFL level. And he's athletic enough to be a penetrating one technique. Guys that, yes, he could hold up against the run. That's going to have to come with time, right? If it doesn't happen right away, I think, you know, rarely do you get guys who could step in, especially drafting 30, who are just going to dominate at that position in the NFL. You're going against really big, grown men at that position. But he can play the one technique, and I think the Bills really need to find a guy right there. Somehow, some way, they still have to, because right now, Daquan Jones is kind of the only guy. Unless you plan on having Dwayne Carter, who is a little bit shorter, and he'd have to gain some weight as well. Unless you plan on him being that true guy, which is possible, I think they have to really find another guy to be able to play that spot. And I think the best scenario is find a young guy, get him on a rookie contract, and if you hit there, that's a guy you can have for years to come to kind of balance out what you have next to Ed Oliver, who's a little undersized. The other part of this is, and I think part that we don't talk about enough, but it's true, you know, they have athletic linebackers, and they want to make sure those guys are kept clean. Look at the difference when you can keep Terrell Bernard, who's undersized, and Matt Milano, who's 30-plus years old now, has gone through some injuries. If you could keep those guys clean and let them do their job, it just makes everything work so much better on the defense.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, when I get to the Malachi Starks idea, the Bills met him at the Combine. He did not come in for a visit. Safety is a position we could discuss. And, you know,
yeah.
In your mock, he was on the board. He goes two picks later. James Pierce is on the board, goes off one before the Bills in your mock. Joe likes that idea a lot. How about Starks as an idea? Because one thing about this draft and trying to figure out how they want to build the next version of a Sean McDermott defense, this defense, the safeties last year, they might have been passable at times, but, man, it was a massive drop-off from what they used to have to what they had last year. Do you think Starks is a possibility or a safety is a possibility? And how easy is it to defend as an idea? I find that it is kind of easy to defend, even though we see them as having bigger needs in other spots, that if they wanted to get a true center fielder playmaker back there to kind of put a top on the defense, that would fit in with what the Bills like to do quite a bit.
Who's he playing over if you do that?
Rap.
Let me see.
Rap.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that.
Well, let me give you Rap. Let me give you Rap's.
Go ahead.
Rap, but Pro Football Focus's coverage grade for Taylor Rapp, he ranked 93rd among safeties. Like, Rapp could still get on the field, but they'd be doing it because they think this player is too good to pass on, and we don't want to not take a player who's, you know, what, a B-level player? You don't think they would draft somebody over top of Taylor Rapp?
I do not. Listen, with all due respect to Pro Football Focus or anybody who does film analysis or grades, I don't think the Bills feel that about Taylor Rapp. I mean, go listen to what Sean McDermott said about him at the Combine. I'm sorry, the owner's meetings, I think, which it was, I believe. Like, He called him basically the Terrell Bernard of the secondary. He sets everything. He's very, very important for what they do. Now, I do think the knock can be that he's had some injuries, no doubt about that. Could you improve or get better? Sure. I don't doubt that. I'm not telling you the talent wouldn't be. That's correct, Jeremy. But think about how they've acted at that position ever since Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have been here. They don't just put young guys in there who they think can walk in and play. Maybe Cole Bishop could have gotten there last year. I'll give you that because, you know, the injury, who knows what happened. But even Mike Edwards, who's been in the league for several years, signs he had some injuries, he couldn't get on the field. That's why DeMar Hamlin winds up starting. That's why DeMar Hamlin gets re-signed. That's why Cam Lewis has been here as a backup. That's why they get guys like Dean Marlowe to come in here and play.
I just want to jump in on the point. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the defensive line. That sounds like, oh, we don't need to invest a lot there. We don't need to invest. And then they sign a guy for $2 million and it doesn't work. And they sign a guy and they have to go and limp back to DeMar Hamlin, who they don't want to play in that spot because Mike Edwards couldn't make the team. And they draft a guy, Bishop. I just feel like, looking back on their history, that position is kind of tough because for 7 years they had answers and they never had to think about it. And now for the first
time, here's the difference, Jeremy.
Okay,
here's the difference. They actually have to play the defensive tackle. They have a rotation. I'm saying, where's this guy playing? You're saying he's going to play over Taylor Rapp. I'm telling you, I don't think they want to take Taylor Rapp off the field. And then where's the other spot? Are you going to put him over Cole Bishop? The defensive tackle is going to play. He's in a rotation.
Sure. Yeah.
Is the safety going to play? Because if he is, somebody's coming off the field.
I almost feel like the more likely avenue to playing time for everybody if they did this, we've had this discussion with Nick Emmanuori, Sal. You just change, though, who would be the guy here. If Starks is being described as an elite processor and the Bills think that's a guy that maybe could pick up our system quicker than most young guys, Bishop suddenly becomes what we've been talking about for Emmanuori, which is we'll get creative, chess piece, he's 6'3", and he had the 9.8 RAS score. Now we're going to start moving him down in the box. We're going to move him around the field, and I think it would be more.
And then who comes off
Bishop.
The field again?
No, I'm saying those three would be on the field at the same time in different packages,
I know.
And then Bishop would be
rotation. I know, so what I'm saying is in those packages, you're taking Taron Johnson off, right? You're taking Matt Milano off. There's still somebody who has to come off the
field.
What
do they normally do when they put an extra safety out there? When it was Poyer,
yes,
or Cam
that
Lewis.
Would be. Yeah. One of those guys becomes a very, very a part-time player, I guess. Right? And you
well,
do that.
Well, if we could play this game, I mean, we're talking about Tre'Davious White's contract. I just want to make a little connection here. Tre'Davious White signed, and his money was how much guaranteed? And his cap hit was what?
It was three, right?
Okay, three. Taylor Rapp's cap hit is 3.6. Like, Rapp is not a highly invested in player. The idea that could go over the top of Taylor Rapp to me, this is not a $10 million safety or a $7 million safety. He signed a three-year, $10 million deal, which is like a nice depth piece. And to have depth, you know, the thing about whatever, having good depth is that you draft players over top of it. Anyway, Sal, the reason I get to Starks, it's not exactly like my number one favorite idea, but you've probably seen a lot of these mock drafts have moved that way, that Starks could be a pick for the Bills.
I just don't think those people who've done it, Jeremy, are actually understanding what the Bills like and guys that they have and what they do.
Well, what
that's what I think.
I get that. What they might think is this guy's awesome, and who the heck is Taylor Rapp? Which I think is defendable from the outside. He's a safety that makes 3.6. Like
I know that.
No, I know. So I'm just saying, like, from the outside, if people from the outside are saying you might want a safety because I look back there and I think your coverage is not great. And this guy could be the guy that does it for you. Like I said, I don't know that's my number one idea. I would get there because it would mean drafting over the top of a starter, a modest starter, to me says that you really do love a player. Whereas defensive tackle isn't easy. Well, it's a wide open need. So that's
it
all.
It is very okay. Let me say this. It is very possible that happens. If you love a guy that much, there's no doubt. It doesn't matter who else you have. You love a guy, he's going to play for you. We'll figure it out later. We can make Taylor Rapp the third safety as he was with Micah and Jordan. There's no doubt. Maybe they don't feel that way about Cole Bishop. When I come on here, when I come on your show or anybody else's show, I think it's more important for me to tell everybody what I think the Bills are going to do and how they think than it is for what Sal Capaccio thinks, because it doesn't matter if I'm wrong. And if the Bills are wrong, obviously it matters, and they pay. And I'm telling you here, I don't care about the money for Taylor Rapp. In fact, I do, actually, in a way. He's on a team-friendly deal for 2 more years. I'm telling you, I think they think he is a guy that they need on the field. That's what I think, the way that they operate. It's not just about the history. It's that. And I think that they believe Cole Bishop as a second-round pick is a pretty high asset they use. Now, the ironic part about all this, guys, is to me, maybe Cole Bishop's the guy that they would say maybe he's not what we thought he'd be,
right.
Not Taylor Rapp. That being said, that's why I say I just don't see it from a Bills standpoint. I think I have a good handle on how they think. I would be really surprised if they did that. I think Malachi Starks is an excellent player. I think Evan Worry is an amazing player. He really is with all those traits. Yeah. I just think that the Buffalo Bills, based on everything that I know how they operate and think that they've said, I would be very surprised from their standpoint if they were thinking the same way.
Yeah. Sal Capaccio with us. It's not my favorite idea either, and I'm less thinking that they would do that even than, like, especially these mockers, Sal. The thing for me is about, like, he reads like Micah Hyde to me. And that's the thing mm-hmm. that I can't get out of my head. Like, the processing and the ball, you know, hawking around in the defense, his ability to play nickel. But for you, I think you're probably right. The more likely outcome is this is going to be their safety room. Maybe there's one other guy that's mixed in there. And
they did also bring in Derek Forrest.
Right.
And I know that he doesn't have a big body of work. But this is the typical kind of thing they do. They bring in guys who've been in the league for 4 years, who know systems, who understand,
yeah.
and they can play. And that's just how they've done it. When Micah and Jordan were signed, they were 4 year players in the NFL.
Yeah.
Before they actually came to Buffalo, right? I mean, they just don't normally do that. I think it would be such a departure from what they do, and given what they've said about Taylor Rapp, how they feel, and given that they had a second round, they used a second round pick on Cole Bishop. Okay, all of that said, I'm gonna tell you guys, I think they're gonna draft a safety. I just don't think it's in the first three rounds.
Right.
I think
right.
they will draft a safety because of everything you said about how they still kind of need a player like that.
I think what I'm really curious about tonight, this conversation and your mock about Tyleek Williams, is just what the Bills really want from their defense, what they want to do better defensively, and who they draft, what that could mean to that. Because I almost feel like any, like, maybe safety, as you're kind of describing, would be like a big departure from what they do. And maybe there are these, like, if they draft a defensive tackle, that might be like a little departure from what they do. We can debate that. But whatever they draft, I'm going to be really trying to pick apart, like, okay, what do they want to be better at? If they drafted a safety, we'd have to really reset and think, okay, what do they want to be? Do they want more man coverage options when a safety's got to kick down to cover a receiver? If they draft a tackle, do they want to keep those linebackers cleaner than they've been and be more well-versed to that guy playing on third downs? Third down defense coming up. And even that could be corner two, couldn't it, a little bit, right? If they draft a second corner, we haven't really seen this team with two great young dynamic corners at the same exact time. Almost feels like anything but edge rusher, right? Because edge rusher they've done a million times, and I feel like that would just be, they just keep taking the same swing.
And don't we think edge rusher is in the mix? And
that's
another one where somebody's coming off the field a lot, and you're rotating an
awful
lot.
I think Joey Bosa is going to be on like a little load management, right? I think that first of all. And I do think you have to have, you know, we have to think, if you're going to play, if you're going to be up and, you know, Josh Allen, you're winning games, you might want a guy that you can come in that spot. You don't have to have him as a three-down player right away in his career, and he can develop more of his game, and you can still use him as a pass rusher,
mm-hmm.
right? So I agree. Someone's coming on the field like, yeah, I mean, maybe I'm making too much about that point. I just think in the secondary at safety, it's just hard. Like, this is what happens every time. Right away, this, just so everybody knows. So we had somebody listening who tweeted in, Bakes. He said, Jeremy, you're spot on. Sal thinks Taylor Rapp is the savior. That is not what I'm saying
yeah.
at all. Please understand. I don't think that.
Right.
What I'm telling you is what I think the Bills think about their safeties.
So you're making me want them to draft a safety now, though, because I think this has been a good discussion. And I feel like if they draft a defensive tackle, it's like, all right. That makes sense. Like, it fills in. We know the role is open where, like, remember when they drafted Kincaid? Like, the conversations after about how they're going to use them and how this changes things and personnel packages. I don't think they're going to draft a safety. This came up actually the other day, Sal, when there was that Schefter post about the Bills and a linebacker. And my first reaction is, how in the world are you going to make that happen?
Yeah.
If they were to do something like that, I just don't even know, you know, we'd be trying to figure out how to explain it after something like that.
Yeah, I get it. Again, that's why it's always tough, right? I mean, like, I'm not here to tell you. I'm telling you what I think the Buffalo Bills think about their team
right.
and how they'll go about this draft. I don't disagree. Malachi Starks is an excellent player. He played in an excellent program, has the pedigree, comes in. He could probably be a day one starter on most teams, even the Buffalo Bills. I just think the Bills don't like to do things like that. And they believe in the guys they have and the assets they've spent on them and the way that the team looks right now. We could debate all day if that's a good decision or a bad decision. My job, I think, is to bring you what I think the Bills are going to do. That would be a surprise to me. It's the same thing I say about wide receiver, guys. We haven't even talked about that, but I'll say we have this discussion about receiver all the time. I'm not here to tell you that wide receiver isn't a bad idea and they can't add to the room. That's fine. They could do that. They could... But I just don't think the Bills are going to do that. Sure. They have the league MVP for Everybody Eats and the way that they operated last year.
Everybody Eats. You see what Keon Coleman said in a podcast recently?
I did not.
We're going to play that. It's not nothing bad. Nothing bad. no, it's not. It's just, you know, he was talking about right before his injury, he caught a bunch, you know, had a couple big games, and he said something to the effect of, I feel like I'm about to get fed. And he was thinking about 1,000 yards. And, you know, like, I loved it. I loved hearing it. Like he was starting to gain that confidence and get there, and then the injury happened, and he talked about how the offense kind of changed when he was out. We're gonna play some of that later on. Anyway, it was good stuff from Keon. I thought it was encouraging. Sal, thank you. Good chat. It's draft day. Enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Enjoy it.
All right. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. He mentions receiver. To me, that's like the same point here. Let's say this is a out there comparison, but I can't draft Matthew Golden because I have Josh Palmer. Like, that's not what I want to do here. BPA is often a thing we say, well, your needs are going to change year over year. And if they think Starks would be a great fit and amazing difference maker, like, I'm not letting Taylor Rapp get in the way of that. They might. That's Sal's point. They might like Rapp enough.
Right.
Objective.
Right, because the difference there is a receiver, if you can still like Coleman and play him.
Yes. Yes. Where,
because that's more rotation. And safety, you can, like I kind of described, you can work to make that more rotational, but in essence, that's not a rotational position.
And money does matter to me. Like Bosa, what did he sign for? Good money.
Yeah, for 1 year. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So you're expecting him to play. Rapp on a three-year deal at 3.6. I mean, the Bills, again, not going in for sale here, they can tell me how much they love a guy all they want to. I've watched them draft right over the top of players that they said they loved before, and they'll do it again. Good franchises are going to tell you they love their players and then draft over top of them. So I don't exactly know that Starks will happen, but I'm just kind of preparing to land there. Thinking about it, it's almost like a mock reaction. If this happened, here's what I would say about it. You drafted over top of a guy that you like. That means this draft pick, you must love.
I guarantee you, though, that if they, you might be right, that it could end up being more about Rapp at the end. If they draft Malachi Starks tonight, the immediate reaction from everybody is going to be they're drafting him over Cole Bishop.
But they're different players. He fits in better for Rapp. All right, we got to get to a break.
Yeah.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 on WGR. That sounds like, oh, we don't need to invest a lot there. We don't need to invest. And then they sign a guy for $2 million and it doesn't work. And they sign a guy and they have to go and limp back to Damar Hamlin, who they don't want to play in that spot because Mike Edwards couldn't make the team. And they draft a guy, Bishop. I just feel like looking back on their history of that position is kind of tough because for 7 years, they had answers and they never had to think about it. And now for the first
time. Here's the difference, Jeremy.
Okay.
Here's the difference. They actually have to play the defensive tackle. They have a rotation. I'm saying, where's this guy playing? You're saying he's going to play over Taylor Rapp. I'm telling you, I don't think they want to take Taylor Rapp off the field. And then where's the other spot? Are you going to put him over Cole Bishop?
Spicy segment. Good stuff with Sal. It's draft day. You can tell. Everyone's like a little bit like, yeah. I didn't really think too much about safety. I dismissed safety for a while. Mm-hmm. Until right now, like all these mocks are going Malachi Starks. Again, it doesn't have to mean anything, but I'm kind of preparing myself. Like, if that's the pick, what's the defense? And I've gotten myself to a good defense of it, which would be, yeah, we drafted over top of another starter because we want great players. Mm-hmm. And they draft the defensive tackle, of course, Joe. That guy could be a great player, and that could be why they draft him. He doesn't have to beat anybody out. That's just an easy, like, all right, they drafted the best defensive tackle on their board. So it's more about what it would say if they drafted a safety, what it would really say about what they want to do, which is we just need great players. And I don't think Taylor Rapp stands in the way of a great player. So that's all. It's an extension of trying to read their board without ever seeing it. And we'll get to a call here in a minute, 803-0550. Because if they drafted a tackle, we'd say, what are you doing? Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins are both awesome, and they're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
If they drafted a tight end in the first round, what are you doing? That position is full.
Yep.
I don't think safety falls in that box of what are you doing? You already have safeties.
Yeah. And I think it would say a lot about the player, which, like, Daniel Jeremiah just had a tweet about how, you know, like, the draft's all about fit and teams have their can have their needs on depth charts, but, like, I think how much does a guy fit what a team does? And that is kind of why Starks is intriguing to me. It's he just seems like the type of safety that is exactly what they like in a safety. At least if you go historically, which, again, there really isn't a lot of historical decision-making by the Bills at safety because they never had to make a decision at safety. They had two guys that they signed the day they walked in, and then they never had to think about it again until 2 years ago.
Yep.
So,
and what did they do? They played it low and cheap, and it was
they
bad.
They did.
And it was brutal.
Right. But what Starks presents for them, just the way McDermott runs his defense and the kind of the way they've played with zone coverage and the way they've used their safeties, Starks just looks like a guy that they – I wouldn't be surprised if they looked at him and went, man, that's the perfect type of safety for our defense. Now, we almost got into this a little bit at the end. Like, would it be Bishop? Would it be Rapp? It could be both. It could just be all three of them. The reason why I think more about Bishop for this is because, again, like, I don't know what they want out of Bishop, what they like out of Bishop. I mean, I think that what they like is the idea that he's a better athlete than they've ever had at safety, right? Better safety, bigger, maybe even a little bit faster than some of the guys they've had. But it's kind of the Kincaid piece, too. Do you know what to do with him? Do you know how to use him? Do you want to be different and creative with him? Because, like, Rapp flies around the field.
Yeah.
Like, he throws his body around. He's trying for big hits. To me, like, he's more of your Poyer. And to me, if you bring Starks in, I'm like, well, they're trying to recreate. Well, I don't think Rapp is nearly as good as Poyer ever was or ever will be. But the styles of the two players, I feel like, would be more equivalent for what they've had if it were Starks and Rapp. And then I'm using Bishop as this chess piece all around the board.
803-0550, some calls on this. Then I'm going to get to the list of – I'm thinking about this. The list of players you would confidently say, well, they can't draft a guy over top of that. Like this Rapp conversation. Dave in Buffalo. Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
When I try to think about this, when I know whatever I think, I'm probably going to be wrong about it. But what does a headline look like the day after the draft? And I think the headline is going to be that Bean walked in with 10 picks and knew that he was going to cut at least four and maybe as many as six of these guys. And if they cut somebody, it's basically a wasted pick for the Bills. So I would see them actually cutting four guys, maybe six guys, or actually take those draft spots and then roll them all together and try to move up into the third round. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if they ended up with picking two guys in the third round because they rolled together a bunch of their fours and fives and things that they have. So I think that in the end, I mean, we're all very good at playing checkers with this, but Bean is playing chess. And there's a whole big thing going on. It's going to be an interesting draft to watch because of that.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's any different chess than we're playing. Like, we could all make those trades too. The Bills and their total draft capital, right? Like, what do all their fourths get? Their two-fourths amount to the 96th pick. So they could dump those two and move into the third. And could they take their three-fifths and move into the fourth? Sure. And they could try that. They need teams that want to do that. You need to find maybe teams that don't have capital. You're doing this in your own fantasy leagues maybe right now. Like, oh, I've got a bunch of picks. Let me look and see who doesn't have picks and who might want some. Mm-hmm. That's who to call. So he mentioned they're monitoring teams in front of them, behind them. The headline after tonight, we'll see. The headline after the weekend will be different. Do they make 10 picks? Do they make 8 picks? It'll be fun to find out.
What would the over-under be?
7.5? I was just about to say 7.5.
When you would take the
I mean, I'd bet the under? I'd bet the under. I bet they come out with 7 players. That's what I'd bet. Oh, I mean, 8, whatever. It's tough.
It's why that would be the right line, because that would be a tough
decision. It's a good number.
Decision.
803-0550, 1-888-552-550. It's Malachi Starks Day. I kind of didn't plan for this, but again, the whole idea is find me the best players, and I'm not letting a modest safety get in the way of that. I would say the same thing about defensive tackle. They had a $3 million, or if Jordan Phillips is here again, or it's a bad example, but Daquan Jones, or I'm just not worried.
If they
about
had
it.
Signed, well, they did sign Ogunjobi, right? Right.
Don't do that. You've got Ogunjobi.
What if they had signed the equivalent of Ogunjobi, but as a one technique? They have their 330-pound guy. They paid him 1 year, $6 million.
Yeah. 803-0550.
1-888-550-2550. Let's find great players. Tonight's night one. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. One fun thing, Josh Allen, John Rahm, Phil Mickelson, and who's the fourth in this group?
Grant Horvath?
Yes, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Played a golf round, and Josh pulled a pretty good prank on the other team, changing their rangefinder to meters from yards.
Yes, and they went, how long do you think it would take you to realize?
One shot.
One shot?
Yes.
Okay, it took them two holes.
That's incredible to me.
Yeah. So this is how...
Maybe two shots if I'm...
They should have known on the first shot.
If I've never played the course before, I guess it's...
I guess... So I watched a lot of the stream, and so Josh runs over, and he changes it to meters. And him and Rahm are laughing about it. So then these two hit their shots, and they both just assumed they didn't hit good contact.
Yeah.
And they were in the bunker short on the right. So then the next hole... The next hole, I don't think it was a short par four, so they never really they went driver and then like a chip, so okay. they didn't really have to
shoot it.
They didn't have to shoot it. So then the next hole after that is when they finally figure out. Wait a minute, this says 180, but it, or I don't even remember how it
says
it was.
One. Like if it's 150, it's actually 164.
Right.
So
how about but they hit two shots, two holes before in a match where like it was tied. I mean, you know, they're not playing like for like tons of money or anything. It's not like a real tournament. But imagine you were playing in a match with your buddies, and it's tied, and somebody does that. I'd want to go back.
Yeah.
Like, I should get to hit that shot again.
It's funny.
It was hilarious, though.
It's very funny.
It was very funny.
Good trick they played. You've hit how many golf shots in your life? I mean...
Well, especially Mickelson.
That's what I mean.
Mickelson should have known.
You got fooled
the
on that?
Second that it happened, yeah. He did get fooled, yeah.
803-0550.
Also, Mickelson wearing sunglasses in that stream when it was rainy and cloudy.
Not just that, wearing all white.
And all white,
it's like Darth Vader changed into the Stormtrooper outfit.
But really, I have not seen Phil Mickelson without sunglasses in like 7 years.
I haven't seen him not wearing black since he went to live. He just wears black on black on black, and he was wearing white in this video.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ellen on golf streams, by the way, musty. It is really funny.
803-0550. We have a little more on James Cook. There's the latest in the saga. His brother tweeted something yesterday. We'll get to that. Also want to get you some clips of this Keon Coleman interview in a podcast. He was a guest and had some, I think, some good stuff, some encouraging stuff from him, explaining a little bit of what happened and, you know, his own taking accountability on his role in what happens from here. It was good stuff. So we'll get you some of that. It is draft day. You can join us, 803-0550 on WGR.